In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us unite our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Our beloved Heavenly Father, as we approach you this evening in prayer, we ask, dear Father, remember us, weak and weary and doubt-ridden ones, we who so oft-time struggle with many things, we who so oft-time question, and we who so oft-time are filled with doubt, dear Father, we ask, simply increase our faith. We ask, dear Father, feed and nourish us through thy word. Uplift and comfort us. Grant unto us that assurance that we so sorely need. And we ask, dear Father, simply, preserve us here in the place of a little child, desiring the sincere milk of thy word, that we may grow thereby. And we ask, dear Father, on behalf of our loved ones and our neighbors who are struggling in the darkness of unbelief, dear Father, remember them, grant unto them distress over their sin-fallen condition, and grant unto them that grace which only thou can bestow upon sin-fallen mankind. Dear Father, grant unto them a heart that is desiring this peace and joy and righteousness which is only found here in thy kingdom. Dear Father, we thank you for all thy gifts that thou hast given unto us, that thou hast preserved us, we who so oftentimes struggle against that threefold enemy, so oftentimes are defiled by sin, and yet thou hast reached out again and again unto us. And dear Father, we thank you for the merit work of thy Son, and how thou hast prepared the way of salvation so simply, and how thou hast made us righteous through the merit work of thy beloved Son. We thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We heard this morning it being Palm Sunday, and he read from the gospel text of that happening some 2,000 years ago when Jesus entered into Jerusalem for the final time. I'm going to also read a portion of that when he entered into Jerusalem, and as his custom was, he went to the temple. And so I'm going to read from the 21st chapter of Matthew of that portion of some of the things that he did there that day, beginning from the 14th verse, in Jesus' name. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Amen. We are, as mentioned, experiencing once again Palm Sunday, the beginning of what has been called as Passion Week, ending in Maundy Thursday, and Good Friday, and that victorious Easter morning, the final week of our Lord Jesus here upon the earth. You know, it's good, even this evening, it's good that you've come here. And you who may be listening at home, it's good that you're listening. It's important. Mothers and fathers, it's important that you bring your children here to the feet of Jesus. That we bring our children here to see the Lord Jesus coming into Jerusalem for the final time. And we experienced day after day those things that Jesus did here. And on that Maundy Thursday evening, we climb into that upper chamber with our Lord Jesus and hear what He has to say. And that we bring our children there to the place of the cross to see our crucified Lord Jesus. And then to bring them again here to that sepulcher and experience Jesus is not dead, He lives. It is important. Mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, dear elders, that we, year after year, come here to experience this miraculous grace and mercy of our Heavenly Father. Here, this portion of Scriptures is a text of Palm Sunday. I didn't read the first part of it, which you heard this morning from the Gospel according to John. But he does say here that in the 12th verse, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and brought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it into a den of thieves. It is true that there in the temple there was those money exchangers and those that sold those sacrificial animals to the people as they came to celebrate Passover and so on. And it is true, they were thieves and extorted money from the people. Extortioners. And Jesus that morning drove them out of the temple. Then we come to our text. Then he proceeds from that place where they were. And he continues in the temple. And it says, And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. You know, when you read of this happening on this final week in the Gospel according to John, I believe there's 7 chapters alone when the disciples climbed into the upper chamber on Maundy Thursday evening. And we hear and we can read what Jesus and how Jesus instructed His disciples there and us and all believers and unbelievers alike. When you read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus was not idle that last week. He did countless miracles. He taught many, many different parables. There is so much to learn and to relearn and to be reminded of and to be comforted by through those words of our Lord during the time of Passion Week. Indeed, the blind and the lame approached Him, begging. And the Bible simply says, and Jesus healed them. No, not only that temporal blindness that they had that they could not see, and the lame and infirm that had physical ailments, and He healed those. And there's reason to give thanks unto God for those things. But much more important, they heard the gospel. Thy sins are forgiven. They had reason to rejoice and to thank God. You know, when you read and study from this portion, even in Matthew, he goes on here teaching and encouraging, and there were many there that wanted to believe. They wanted to hear what Jesus said. But there were many in that group that came for only one reason: to try to make Jesus stumble in word or deed. They were unsuccessful. But this one certain lawyer here asked him, but he asked a very important question. But it says he asked the question, tempting him, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" What is the great commandment in the law? Jesus reminded us. This is the first. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And so what's the second? He mentioned two. The second is this. And the second is like unto it: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The entire scriptures hangs on this: to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind, and also to love thy neighbor as thyself. He taught in that upper chamber and reminded us. He says, no new commandment I leave unto you, but this: love ye one another as I have loved you. Jesus again and again instructed us of the importance of love here in His kingdom here upon the earth. One of the disciples asked Him then, well, what are the signs of the end of time? In Matthew here, He goes on to relate of the signs of the end of time. The end of time is coming. Dear brothers and sisters, in God's kingdom they have preached of the end of time for a long time. Generation after generation, mothers and fathers have reminded their children, the end of time is coming. It is important for us to preserve faith and good conscience. Dear brothers and sisters, we are closer to the end than we realize. You know, when you read in Matthew here, he cites about the wars and rumors of wars and divers earthquakes, and he goes on and on explaining of these signs, but then he also says, and love will grow dim. He says the times will become so difficult. That the days will be shortened for the elect's sake. Do you know one of the signs of the end? One of the last things that will occur before the end? Jesus taught us that. He said that, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I was at home this morning. Wasn't feeling very well. I was listening to the services on the internet. I wasn't the only one. Throughout the world, there were people listening on the internet to God's word. Dear brothers and sisters, I believe the end is much closer than any of us realize. And yet, that is not a terrifying thing for a believer, for you and I, for God's children. And yet, in the meantime, we have our loved ones departing one by one from our midst here in God's kingdom. Their time had become full. Their work has ended. Their trials have ceased. Jesus says, and on that last day, well, he says before the end comes that the sun will be darkened and the moon. There will be a time before the end that this gospel that we preach to one another so freely, dear brother and sister, dear children, dear youth, your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Believe this gospel. Before the end comes, there will become a time when the doors of grace of the kingdom of God will close. The time of grace has ended, and the end then will come. I ask you this evening, does it pay to believe? You know, and there's not one here this evening who doesn't experience difficulties and afflictions and sorrow and trials of many different kinds and the onslaughts of Satan, that he's tempting us with so many things and the pain of sin that we fall into. There's not one who has and does not experience this. Not one. But what grace of grace it is that we can come here. And God again and again calls us, come this way. Believe the gospel. Your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Does it pay to believe, dear brother and sister? We don't know when our life ends. God, even before we were born, chose the day of our birth, and He chose the day of our death. Our days are numbered, and when that number is full, it's according to the Holy Scriptures. The songwriters have written of this. And so, it pays to endeavor to believe. You know, in this gospel of Matthew, he records much of what Jesus spoke in the temple that day. And there were scribes and Pharisees sitting there. Indeed, this one questioned Jesus that, what is the greatest commandment? Another one asked, well, they asked many different questions, but then Jesus begins to speak unto the scribes and Pharisees. Okay, what's a scribe? Well, in the old day of the Holy Bible, mine is wearing out. In the old day, when the Bible, the scrolls began to wear out, then the scribe would take that scroll and he would write literally with his hand, word by word. And he would rewrite the Holy Scriptures. They learned the Holy Bible. The scribes knew the Scriptures. And they thought, and many of them were self-righteous, the Pharisees and the scribes. You know, they were learned men. They knew what the law said and required, and they preached it unto the people.
and ignored it themselves. Jesus reminded them, "You like to be called Rabbi, Rabbi, as you walk in the marketplace. You seek those high seats." He lovingly rebuked them. An entire chapter is written lovingly rebuking those in self-righteousness, the scribes and the Pharisees. They thought they were made righteous through their work. We believe in righteousness of faith. You know, we have a great reward awaiting us in heaven. A miraculous reward. And we don't obtain it through merit. We are given this as a gift by God, the righteousness of faith. We live and are saved through the merit work of Jesus. There is nothing required of us. Jesus, when He preached, He didn't preach to the people that you must do this and you must not do this. He always lovingly reminded them, "Lift up thy bed and walk. Believe the gospel and endeavor to walk according to the Holy Scriptures." Of course, dear brothers and sisters, we in God's kingdom rejoice over this, that God has called us by name and that we are partakers here in God's kingdom. And may this thankful heart then cause in us to help one another, to help our unbelieving loved ones, our unbelieving neighbors, to be good citizens. But this comes from the love of Christ that we want to do this. We don't obtain any merit for it. Oh, Satan would want to heap merit on us. Boy, look what you've done. You're such a good believer. This is the sermon from Satan. It merits us nothing. You know, if this eternal reward in heaven depended on our merit, every one of us would be miserable and we would not be able to obtain heaven ever. It is impossible. But the one thing Jesus reminded often is that we love one another. You know when love has begun to cool toward someone. You know that. You know that that love has cooled. And there's a reason why it has cooled. And we don't go to that brother or sister and ask for forgiveness for broken love. That doesn't help. There's a reason why the love has been broken, and we speak about that and ask for forgiveness, and the love will return of itself. This is how loving and gracious Heavenly Father we have, and that's why it's so important that in our relationships with one another, our family, our neighbors, if the love has cooled, there is a reason then to go knock there. Ask for forgiveness. For the reason why the love has cooled. In our text, it says, "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased. Earlier here in this text, it says, "And the multitudes that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" All the city of Jerusalem was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." We heard this morning how he came into Jerusalem for the final time on the back of a colt, of a donkey. He gave us a picture of what it may have appeared like when Jesus was sitting on that donkey and his legs perhaps were dragging on the ground. It's an animal of burden. He didn't come into Jerusalem dressed in purple in a fancy chariot pulled by great white stallions. There was a reason why Jesus entered in Jerusalem for the final time. Before he entered, he beheld the city and he wept. He wept over the unbelief of the people. It says here in Matthew that he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would have I gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till he shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And we know that the time of visitation was taken from among the Jewish nation. You know, when the disciples then, after Easter morning and after Jesus gave them that proclamation, gave us that proclamation to go and preach the word to all nations. And there were times when they entered into these cities And yes, there were those Jewish people that wanted to believe, but many of them became angry. And yet the Gentiles would come unto them and would ask and say that, could you come and preach unto us? And at one particular time, the entire city came there when the Apostle Paul spoke. They wanted to hear. They were in need. They were in need of this peace and joy and righteousness which God had offered unto them. And so then the time of visitation moved from those chosen people of God and came unto us, the Gentile nations. And hasn't it been so, dear brother and sister, in our lifetime, how this gospel has been preached in many, many nations? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. I believe, dear brother and sister, we are closer to the end than we realize. Jesus says, "And the days in the end of time shall be as the days of Noah were, as the flood came, and they danced and ate and were merry." In our lifetime, we have seen huge changes in the morals of our land, the Western lands in the world, dear brother and sister. This, when the Apostle Paul was preaching unto the believers there in to the Thessalonians,
said in this way that speaking of that last day, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. In the Acts of the Apostle, Jesus, when after His resurrection, came unto His own for 40 days. We will certainly be hearing much of these happenings during these days of services that we have coming. In the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, He gave and instructed the believers there for the final time. And He says, "But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." And so on. That is the day that we are waiting for. Our loved ones who are resting upon the bosom of Abraham, their work has ceased, their trials have ended, and their joy has begun. We are yet here, endeavoring in faith, just trying to believe. Oftentimes, the battle is so difficult. Oftentimes, it's so hard to believe. And yet, the simplicity of faith is so simple. All that's required of us is to believe. We're saved by faith. The righteousness of faith. Simply believe, even this evening. God has not forgotten you. He continually calls. He continually comes to carry us when it seems that we can't go on. He comforts and uplifts. He so lovingly instructs us. We need those instructions so often. Again and again He comes. And again He reassures, "Thy sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood." And boy, I need to hear this gospel that, could I believe, my sins and doubts also forgiven. I certainly desire to believe with you. And dear brother and dear sister, it pays to believe. The end is much nearer than any of us realizes. Cling to this gift that God has given you. And believe through the merit work of Christ, the reward of heaven you already own through faith. It is so simple. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.